find one. Well, I made a couple of calls, but then I got to thinking, who wants to come up here on top of this hill and pull a rope and ring a church bell and wake up the whole neighborhood? I have an idea that would last about one Sunday morning. So I changed my mind.
Right.
Yeah, that's for the country. Bells are for cows. You put them around the neck. Anyway, we're glad you're here today. And pray for those that are sick. They're listed in the bulletin there. We did hear last night, I spoke to Billy Bull. First time I'd spoken to her since she had had her fall. And she's still in a home being taken care of and is doing, well, her wound is healing where she busted her head open. But she's doing pretty well. And heard from Roger. He was telling me about Linda's condition and this. And our Susie is on her way home from Phoenix. And I guess pretty soon we'll be hearing something about Miles, how he's doing with his cancer. And so let's just keep our people that are on our prayer list before the Lord. Okay? That's what it's about. And at the same time, remember to pray for those that are sick. Not only those that are sick, but those that are spiritually lost. Those that need salvation in Christ. We're happy to have with us today a guest speaker. And the next time I have a guest speaker, I'm not going to announce it, because I can just imagine everybody saying, well, if Brother Wetzel's not going to preach, I'm not going to church today. They better not say that to me. I'll get on to them. But especially when they saw that in there about Joe Langley, who in the world is he? From Temecula? Where's Temecula? Anyway, he's going to be preaching for us, whether you like it or not, and I'm sure you will. And he's going to brought his family with him to church today, too. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Fine family. And we're going to sing a couple more songs and then turn the pulpit over to him and let him preach for us. Let's sing again.
Do we have a scripture reading, Pastor?
No, I don't have a scripture reading. Do you have one, brother? Who's going to read?
Pat.
Oh, Pat's going to read. All right. Come on up.
Hello. Going to read from Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, ye visited me not. Then they shall also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. God bless the reading of his word.
That'll make you think how you treat people and treat them like the Lord would treat them, and we're okay. Amen. Would you turn over to number 440. 440. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. How I love to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and from sin and self to cease. Now from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, he'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Would you all rise, and for our offering, we're going to sing 179, and would the ushers please come at the end of the song. Thank you. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Amen. Amen.
Brother Roger, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen.
To your word. We thank you for traveling mercies for our pastor. We thank you that you brought him back safe. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the ill, but those that cannot hear today, watch care of those that are traveling. And Lord, we thank you so much for this church you've given us that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. Take this offering, Lord, for this church and not only this church, for the missionaries that we do support. We thank you so much for them. And we thank you so much for dying on the cross and shedding your blood.
Amen. Brother Johnny, would you come and sing for us? I'm glad that Nancy could be with us this morning. We missed her, didn't we, last Wednesday night? See there? Told you.
Good morning, everyone. You know, Pastor, I want to say something. You know, when I was in my sinful condition in Chicago, like every weekend or so, we used to have dances, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought I was, as they say, to cast me out. I thought I was, amen? But I realize now I'm just fooling myself. But one of these days, when I get in the presence of my Lord, just like this dear saying this song, I'm gonna go to Hallelujah Square. And I'm gonna dance for my King. Some time ago, I saw this dear saint from years gone by. Pain and gold, or feeble body, still a gleam was in her eye. I said to her, how are you doing? Fearing what she had to say, all the words she said unto me, I remember still a day. Now this is what she said to me. I can't recall a day that I've not known pain. For years I never took a step without a crippled cane. But I had a talk with Jesus, and he told me some good news. It won't be long till I be wearing all my dancing shoes. I'm gonna dance all over heaven in praise to my King. Some will rest by the river, some will shout and some will sing. Now some will spend in this ages looking over celestial views, but I'll be dancing over heaven in my dancing shoes. I'm gonna dance all over heaven in praise to my King. Now some will rest by the river, some will shout and some will sing. Now some will spend in this ages looking over celestial views, but I'll be dancing over heaven in my dancing shoes. Some will spend in this ages looking over celestial views, but I'll be dancing over heaven in my dancing shoes, in my heavenly dancing shoes. Praise God, yes I am. I'm going to be doing the heavenly two-step, Pastor. Ooh, watch out, Pastor. I'll go dance before my Lord. Praise God, hallelujah.
Yeah, all right. Remember the services tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday evening, our Bible study, also at 6 o'clock. Now then, Brother Joe, will you come please and preach for us? So glad to have you with us today. Thanks for coming down. You introduce your family to everybody. Thank you.
Well, it is a privilege to be here with you this morning, and I appreciate Brother Wetzel. I think it was back in November was the first time that we got to meet. Just moved down here and was trying to get acquainted with some of the local preachers that I was not familiar with. And so I asked Brother Wetzel if it'd be all right if I took him out for lunch. And so we did that. And so I'm very grateful for Pastor Wetzel and the faithfulness that he has shown over these some 55 years, I believe he told me this morning. And so that is a huge blessing. And it is a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to open God's Word and to preach His Word. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm grateful for my family being here with me. We currently live up in Escondido, and we travel up to go to church up in Temecula. My pastor is Pastor Bill Wrench. And Calvary has been up there for some 20, I think it's 25 years. And so very grateful for the witness that Calvary Baptist Church is to the Temecula area as well. But my wife is, her name is Cherie. And then I have my daughter, youngest, our baby. She just turned 13, got got three teenagers in the house now. So Caroline is 13, and Jacob, our middle child, is 15. And Cody just turned 18, and he is getting ready to go to Bible college in August. And so bittersweet. So, but let's get to business, if we would, this morning. I'm going to be preaching out of John chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to start reading in verse 30. And lots going on here in John chapter 4. And so I'm going to try to paint a picture for you this morning, a biblical picture. And I believe that it'll bring some sense to our account here this morning. But if you would, in honoring God and His Word, if we would stand, please, if you're willing and able. And John chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 30. I need a chain to keep me behind the pulpit because I'm a wanderer when I preach. And so I hope that everybody will be able to hear me this morning. I will try. All right, John chapter 4, verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now these are the disciples. They've just come in from the city of Sychar. And we're going to talk about that this morning, bring everybody up to speed. But they went in to get some food, and Jesus stayed behind. And so they are coming up upon the scene now in verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, and we'll talk about her here in just a moment, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Let's pray this morning. Father, again, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be in your house. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be a child of God, to be a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you for the privilege of life. We thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. And Lord, again, it is a privilege to be in your house and to be a member of the body of Christ. And Father, we just ask that that your perfect will would be accomplished here this morning. I pray, Lord, that everything that I say, Lord, everything that I preach this morning would bring you honor and glory. Pray that you'd help me, Lord, to declare your word with power, with conviction, with truth. Father, use me as your personal vessel. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me today to empty myself of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Use me again this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, there's a lot going on here in John chapter 4 that leads up to this point. And so I want us to understand here this morning, first and foremost, I'd like us to understand that this is God's preserved word. And he has it for our benefit. He didn't inspire his word just so that we would have something to do. No, he gave us his word that we might be drawn closer to him, that we might be molded and shaped into the very image that he has for us. He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And with that being said, he has preserved his word for this very day for you and for me. And so here in John chapter 4, what we have is Jesus is in the midst of a time of travel. What has happened was these Pharisees that we'll talk about here. Look at verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So that's not the whole sentence, but what we have taking place here is, first and foremost, the Pharisees, John the Baptist had the Pharisees' attention. He was down at the River Jordan. He was baptizing people. Multitudes of people were coming because he was preaching God's word. He was baptizing those that have come to repentance. And so these Pharisees, these Jewish leaders, had sent some priests, some scribes down to John because they wanted to find out who this man was. And believe it or not, they believed at first that John the Baptist was the Christ. And yet he confessed, he told them that he was not the Christ. But he knew, the Pharisees knew, that John had the attention of the people, which caused the Pharisees to pay particular attention to John the Baptist. Well, time has passed now. John is still on the scene, but he is decreasing. As he said, Jesus is increasing, his ministry is increasing. And so now Jesus has the multitude. They're flocking to him. There's more disciples that are being made, more pupils, more students of Jesus' teachings. And so now the Pharisees know that Jesus is having more disciples, and they even believe that Jesus is baptizing them. But we see here in verse number 2, it wasn't Jesus that was doing the baptizing, but it was his disciples. It says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And so Jesus being God, Jesus being 100% God, knew what was best. And so he is in the process of going unto the Pharisees up in Galilee. And so we see this time of travel where Jesus is leaving Judea. He's traveling up to Galilee. But the normal way of travel for the Jews was to bypass the certain particular area because there was a group of people there that the Jews looked down to. They looked at them as a second-class citizen. They looked down their noses at them. And these were these Samaritans. And so the normal route for the Jews when they would be traveling from Judea up to Galilee would be to go around this place called Samaria. But Jesus told his disciples that he must needs go through Samaria. See, Jesus knew, being 100% God, that he had a divine appointment with a young lady at a well. And so they are traveling there, and they come to this city inside of Samaria called Sychar. And we find here that Jesus is wearied. He is tired because, yes, he is 100% God, but at the same time, he is 100% man, and so he is tired. They have been traveling, they've been journeying, and so he's tired, he's wearied. And so his disciples go into this city of Sychar to get some food, to get some water. And while he's waiting there, we find that there is this young lady, this woman, that comes to him. And here's Jesus, and I just picture this, and he's sitting there, maybe leaning up against the side of this well. Maybe he's sitting on the edge of the well, and here comes this, again, Samaritan woman. And Jesus says, "Give me to drink." Now, we might not think much of something like that, but she definitely thought much about this because she saw Jesus. She saw that he was a Jew. Maybe she recognized the dialect. Maybe she recognized a particular style, if you will. We can tell when people are from the Deep South. We can tell when people are from the Northeast, from New York or Boston. And so no doubt this woman probably sensed that Jesus Christ was a Jew. And what is this? I can't believe that you're speaking to me. I mean, in the Jews' eyes, I am a second-class citizen. I am one that you would ignore. You would go on the other side of the road, if you will, if you saw me coming. You went around my country in order to travel from Judea to Galilee. And so she is completely taken back in verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me of drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And so Jesus must needs go through Samaria because of this very meeting place. And I love this, you know, because here is Jesus Christ, our example, right? And so what is he doing? He's looking beyond colors. He's looking beyond nationalities. He's looking beyond everything, and he's looking at the need of this woman. This woman needs this living water that he's going to share with her. He sees that she is lost. She has no direction in her life. She is destined to a place eternally separated from God. And so Jesus sees this. And so he's talking with her, he's engaging in her, he's involved, he's trying to pour himself, if you will, into this woman so that she would experience that fulfillment. And so Jesus basically says this: if you knew what it was that I was offering, if you knew who it was that you were speaking to, even before I would have asked you to give me a drink, you would have asked me to give you a drink. And we see that in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God," let's say that again. "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now, this living water could not be drawn from this physical well that Jesus was leaning up against. This was that soul-quenching water, that spiritual well of water springing up into everlasting life. This was not any water that you had to work at getting out of that well. And I'm sure that this woman probably has shown up with some sort of a wooden bucket, or maybe some sort of a clay pot. Maybe she had some sort of a woven rope that she would be able to lower down into that well to draw that up. That was something that she would have had to work at to bring that water up out of that well. But Jesus is talking about this living water that you don't have to work for. All you have to do is ask for it. All you have to do is receive it, because that is exactly what he's saying here. It's a gift. We don't have to work for a gift. It's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that we have to maintain. It's simply a gift that's given to us by God himself through Jesus Christ. It's by faith, but by his grace that we receive that. So we have to, or she had to, ask for it. She had to want it. But there's another thing that she needed to be aware of. And it's also something that we also need to be aware of. It's not just asking. It's not just something that we want. But there's still something that has to be dealt with. And that's the sin. We have to be confronted with the sin. And that's exactly what this woman had to experience herself. Look at verse 15 and 16 of John chapter 4. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Now, she's talking about the physical water. She didn't want to have to come to this well again and draw this physical water, but Jesus Christ wasn't talking about the physical water. He was talking about the spiritual water. He was talking about that living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. That's kind of a strange statement. But what Jesus was doing was he was trying to get her to consider her sin. He was trying to bring her to the point where she saw herself as God saw her. When he said, go get thy husband, she said, basically, in so many words, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, right, you have five husbands. And the man that you're living with right now, he's not even your husband. Wow. You think she was shocked before because a Jewish man was speaking to her? Well, now in her eyes, she's, okay, well, this is much more than just a Jewish man. I perceive, sir, that you are a prophet. In the Old Testament, a prophet was called a seer. One that could see into the future or see things that most people couldn't see. And so here's this man, this Jewish man, that has just told this woman who she's never met before in her life, but what she doesn't realize is she's talking to God face to face. God knows all things. He knows exactly what's best, and so he's offering her this living water. But in order for her to be able to receive this living water, she has to be confronted with her sin. And so now she is taken back even more. Wow, this Jew is speaking to me. Wow, he knows my secrets. He knows my lifestyle. And so we see here where she begins to possibly change the tables. Trying to get, and I oftentimes experience this myself. You might be out door knocking. You might be sharing the gospel with a coworker, and you're getting to that point for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And do you realize that you have to repent of your sin? Well, explain to me about angels. You know, and you're like, where did that come from? And what they do is they try to change the subject just a little bit. They don't want to deal with their sin, and so they try to redirect the conversation. And possibly that's it. She could be trying to change the conversation, or maybe it's simply that she's trying to, now that she knows that I'm not just talking to a regular Jew, I'm talking to a prophet. Tell me, sir, I mean, my fathers have worshipped here at this well. This is Jacob's well. This is where his children, his family worshipped. And now we are worshiping here, but ye say, your people say, the Jews say that for us to be worshiping here in Sychar is not good enough. We have to be worshiping there in Jerusalem. What is it that you say? And so we see that she's now asking what she perceives as a prophet, a person that has the word of God, that has the knowledge of God. She's looking possibly for truth. And so what is she's doing? Well, listen, I've been taught this all of my life that as long as we worship here, that listen, I'm okay. I know that my life isn't perfect. I know that I've got five husbands, and the man that I'm living with right now is not my husband. I understand that, but our fathers worshipped here, and we worship here. Isn't this good enough? And Jesus basically says, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, you say that you're worshiping, but you don't know worship. Man, what a picture of our society today. You know, there's a lot of so-called churches that are gathering here, not here, gathering this morning on this Lord's Day, and they're calling it worship. But there's no worship taking place. It's a place of entertainment. It's a place of feeding the flesh. It's a place where they're bringing attention upon themselves. They're not glorifying God. They're not truly worshiping God. True worship is a bowing of the spirit. It's a getting low in reverence of God's worth in our lives. And listen, we cannot live our lives outside of God's will and do something in His name and call it worship. And at this point, I can just imagine that this Samaritan woman, that in her mind, it's just burning truth. Truth. True worship. Look at verse 23. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. We have to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And you know what she does again? She basically says, well, you know, one day the Messiah is going to be here and He's going to tell us all things. Because she's thinking to herself, this living water, worship. He's a Jew. He's a prophet. He knows parts of my life that other people don't know. I know that you have your opinion when it comes to worship. We have our opinion when it comes to worship. But you know what? There's coming a day when the Messiah will come. The individual named Christ, when He comes, will know all things. And Jesus says, I that speak unto thee am He. That's me. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah that you've been waiting for. And who is Christ? He is the truth. He is the way. He's the only way. And so He's trying to teach this. And now that truth is really burning in her mind. And what does she do? Man, she drops her buckets. She drops her pots. Whatever she has there. And she is on her way to Sychar, right? Because she knows who she just came face to face with. Man, I am so grateful for that time when I came face to face with Christ. When He dealt with me about my sin. When that moment in time when I saw myself as God saw me. I saw myself as a sinner. Up until that point, you know what? I felt like I was a pretty good person. I felt like that my good kind of outweighed the bad. But listen, that's not the way God looks at it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when I realized that, and when I realized that Jesus Christ, the living water, came and died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, He took my place. When He did that, and I accepted, I turned from my way, I repented of my sin and turned to Christ, and I received that gift of God, Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I received that living water. That water that causes us or keeps us from ever thirsting again. And so this woman drops everything and she's off to Sychar. And that's where these disciples are now coming back from Sychar, and they have the food that they went to get because Jesus was wearied. It says in verse 27, and upon this came His disciples and marveled. They were surprised that He talked with this woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? They didn't confront Him. They didn't ask Him why. They knew that He was the Christ. They knew that whatever He did was right. Whatever He did was perfect. And so the lady goes back to Sychar, verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, that's how it should affect us. You know, when we realize that we've met Jesus Christ face to face, you know what it should do to us? It should cause us to go and tell others. It should cause us to have a burden for those in this world that have never met Him. For those that think they know Him. You know, Pastor was talking about that in Sunday school. Just last week, I knocked on a door. Was inviting a man to Calvary Baptist Church up in Temecula, and he says, "I'm a Jew." What can you say? He doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So until he comes to that point, until he realizes that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, there's nothing that I can do. But we can pray for them, as Pastor talked about this morning. And so the disciples come upon this scene where Jesus is talking with this Samaritan woman. She drops the bucket. She is off to Sychar to share this news to the men of that city. And so what I want us to picture now is as this part takes place here in verse 30 through 40, is the men of Sychar have heard the message. They've heard this lady. They're on their way to this area where the well is. And now Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. Look in verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." So they've come back. They've got the food. They're basically begging. They're pleading with Jesus Christ to take some of this food. We know that you were tired from the journey from Judea up to Galilee. We've seen you, how you were possibly struggling. You were weary. You were tired. You stayed here. We went into Sychar. We're back. Here's the food. And so we see that take place. But Jesus doesn't seem to be hungry anymore. He doesn't seem to be wearied anymore. But he said unto them, verse 32, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" You know, they were kind of shocked too. You know, they just went into town, they bring the food back, and now Jesus doesn't want the food. Doesn't seem like he's tired anymore. Doesn't seem like he's wearied anymore. Man, what a picture this is. You know, we live in this world, and there's a lot of things in this world that can bring us down. There's a lot of things in this world that can cause us to be wearied. But Jesus is saying here that, listen, even though you might be wearied, even though you might be tired, even though you might be going through some things that are wearing on you, listen, there's something that you can do about it that will bring you energy, that will bring you fulfillment, that will cause you not to be so focused on the things of this world, but be focused on what? The will of the Father, as we will see here. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." You know, while I was studying this all out, it reminded me, I was born and raised in northwestern Pennsylvania. Pastor was telling me this morning where they, his, I believe it's your son, just the last couple of days in April got snow. I was just talking to my parents up in northwestern Pennsylvania last week, and they were still getting snow. About 30, 45 minutes south of Buffalo. Man, this has been one of those winters that they will be remembering for the rest of their lives. I can remember back in 1977 when I was just a 7-year-old little boy waking up in December, looking out that front bay window of our house, and all you saw was white. My dad had a full-size Dodge pickup truck, and it was completely buried in the snow that had fallen that night. And they've been getting snow like that this last year. Well, when you get snow like that up in northwestern Pennsylvania, you need a way to keep yourself warm. And so as a young man, one of my chores at home was to get the firewood ready for the wintertime. And so during the summertime, my dad and I would go out into the woods and we would find trees that were already fallen down from windstorms or things of that sort. And so my dad would be out there cutting those logs up with his chainsaw, and I would be the one that would carry those logs back to the truck, and we would get those logs back to the house. And then my job when I got home from school or during the summer break was to split those logs. That's hard work. Not really. We had a log splitter. We were lazy. So I wasn't doing this. I was doing this, getting the engine started, and I was moving those logs. But I could be out there doing my chores, and it just seemed, and listen, it was hard. The sun was beating down on you. You're throwing those logs that are being split up. And man, I would have a pretty good pile of wood. And I can remember those days. Have you ever been really involved in doing some work and it just seems like you almost forget to eat? My wife numerous times has come out to the garage and I'll be maybe working on the car or something. And she's like, "You ready to eat?" "Nope, not yet." 2 hours later, I'm still working on the same thing. She comes out, "You ready to eat yet?" "Not yet." That's one of those things. I can be out in the garage working on the same thing for 4 and 6 hours. Just seems like it's a hard thing for me to get some of those things done. But when we're really involved in something like that, when I was out there cutting those logs, I would lose track of time. And I could just work and work and work and get that pile of logs so big that when my dad would get home, he'd be like, "Wow. You've been working." And I can remember those times sitting around the dinner table and my dad would say something like, "I appreciate the work that you've done today. You've really worked hard. You make me proud." You know what it would cause me to do? It would cause me to go out there, even though I'd been out there for hours. You know, after dinner, my dad would be out there and then he would start in. And then I'd go out there and I'd be like, "Move aside, let me at it." "Oh, no, you've done enough." "No, I want to do more." Why? Because I like to hear from my father, "Well done. Good job." You know what? And that's what we should be doing. That's what we should be working towards, is for our Heavenly Father to be looking down upon us and saying, "Good job. Way to go. Thank you for being obedient and faithful." And that's exactly what was taking place here. Jesus Christ was submitting himself, even though he was God manifested in the flesh. God is a triune God. He was submitting himself to God the Father, and he was doing the work that was very importantly needed. This woman needed to hear this. But sitting around that table, you know what? There was a time that I needed to be replenished. I needed to eat that food. And the meat that Jesus Christ is talking about here with his disciples is, again, just like he wasn't talking about the physical living water, he was talking about the spiritual living water. Jesus Christ is now talking about a meat that his disciples don't know of. And it's doing the will of the Father. He's not talking about beef. He's not talking about pork or chicken or fish. He's talking about doing the will of his Father. Again, verse 34, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus is no longer hungry at this point. He's no longer weary at this point. Why? Because he was partaking of the meat. You know, if we went on a liquid diet, we wouldn't maintain our current weight, would we? Here recently, I've realized that I've put on some pounds myself. And so I've been working at watching what I eat, doing a little exercising, and so the weight is coming off. I've got friends that have gone to see doctors, and they will put them on a liquid diet. Listen, if we lived on water alone, right, what would happen? we wouldn't be able to survive. We wouldn't be able to function because we need something that's hearty. We need some substance. We need something that's going to last. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. Now, I'm not talking that you have to add to your salvation. I'm saying that when you receive the living water, you have the living water. Everlasting life means life everlasting. It means for eternity. But listen, for us to survive as a Christian, we can't just rely on our salvation. Jesus is saying, listen, yes, I need water, but I need meat, right? And just like the physical sense, we need to eat meat, not talking about actual meat. This is a generic or a general term, definition for, we're talking about breads. We're talking about vegetables. We're talking about grains, other things. Jesus is saying that he needs these things, spiritually speaking. Well, what is that? Again, he says in verse 31, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my nourishment, my substance, that which makes me healthy as a Christian, that which keeps me going, that which gives me energy, right? Even though he was wearied not too long ago, it seems like he's got a different step. It seems like maybe he's got a spark. Maybe he's got some zeal back. What is it that gave him this energy? It was to do the work that God had given him to do. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for mine. He also came to this earth to establish his church. And you realize why you are here today? You are here to have fellowship with God. You are here to glorify God. Well, how is it that we glorify God? Well, Jesus Christ gives us the perfect example right here. You share the gospel with those that are lost. Not only do you share the gospel with them, but you correct them when it comes to wrong teaching. Because what? She was looking at her worship. Is this worship good enough for me to look good in God's eyes? You don't know worship. I'm offering you this living water. I am the Christ. I am the living water. And so Jesus was preaching the truth. He was correcting false teaching. And that's what we need to be doing. And that's what's going to help us to be that faithful Christian. That's what's going to give us that energy. That's what's going to give us that strength. That's what's going to give us that fulfillment, that gratification. And here's the truth. Look at verse 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He's saying, don't you have this saying that, you know, that you go out and you cultivate the ground and you fertilize the ground and you seed the ground and you water the ground, and then about 4 months later you go out and you reap the harvest, you get that meat for nourishment and energy. Isn't there that saying? And, you know, he's giving them this rhetorical question, right? He's saying, but here, let me show you something. And I believe this with all of my heart. When he says, behold, look upon the fields, you know what he's looking at? You know what he's pointing to with his disciples? Those men that are coming from Sychar that this woman had just shared with them. Hey, this is the Christ. He's told me things that nobody else knows but me. I thought he was a prophet. I thought he was a seer. But listen, he is the Christ. And here comes these men from Sychar, and Jesus is like, look upon the field. Look upon that which will bring you nourishment and energy. Don't be bogged down with the things of this world. Don't lay up treasures here, but lay them up in heaven. You know, we are so focused with our physical life here. You know, if I stretched a rope from that wall to this wall, and let's picture that as eternity. Do you realize that maybe just a sliver or maybe an inch of that rope just on that end over there represents this physical life, and the rest of that rope is eternity? And yet that's where our focus is oftentimes, is in that inch of that 100-foot rope. Man, we need to be focused on God's will for our life. You know, if you struggle to be here at church Sunday morning only, and you're not here Sunday night, you're not here Wednesday night, this meat that Jesus Christ is talking about, you're not really experiencing that meat. You're not really experiencing that energy, that fulfillment that God actually has for your life. You know, if you're not sharing the gospel with your neighbors or your coworkers, if you're not out door knocking, if you're not purposing to share the gospel with those that are lost, then you're missing out on the nourishment that God has designed your life to be. If you are here in church, and when the offering plate goes by and you drop a 10 or a 20 in there to appease your conscience, then you're missing out on the blessings that God has for your life, because what He wants you to do is to be faithful in the little things. And when He sees you being faithful in the little things, you know what He's going to do? He's going to bless you beyond all of your imagination. I am so grateful for His grace and for His patience in my life. But listen, there's been times in my life where I've missed out on those blessings because I was not found faithful in God's eyes. Listen, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and leads you, hey, you need to talk to that person in the supermarket line. You need to talk to that cashier. You need to give that person, you're walking down the sidewalk and that person walks by and the Holy Spirit says, hey, give that person a track. Invite them to church. And you go, oh, but that would be embarrassing. I would feel uncomfortable about that. You know what you're doing? You're missing out on the meat, on the will of God that He has for your life. I'll finish with this. We were not placed on earth to live our life any way that we please. We were placed on this earth. We were born of this body to serve God and to have a personal relationship with Him and to glorify Him with our bodies. He wants to feed us that spiritual food of obedience. And there are so many dead churches in our nation today. They say that there are 800 churches that are closing their doors every year. And I know that there's a lot of good church plants taking place, but the ones that are closing, we're not replacing them. And so what's taking place is it's like the light, the flicker is going out, because we're not healthy. We're not partaking of that meat that we were designed to partake of. And I'm talking about doing God's will. So this morning, tell God in your heart that I want your will to take place in my life today. You know, there might be a person here this morning, I don't know, there might be a person here that's in the same condition as the woman at the well, that you've never been face to face with Christ. You've never truly dealt with the sin in your life that separates you from God. Or maybe you have experienced that living water. But you know, deep down in your heart, as she thought in her mind, truth. Truth, this is the Christ. He is holy. He is righteous. He can only teach the truth. And He is telling me absolute truth. And maybe deep down in your heart,
the Holy Spirit is saying, truth, that's me. You know what? I'm not as healthy of a Christian as I would like for people to think. I'm putting on a good show. I'm in church. I'm dressed pretty good. People look up to me when it comes to spiritual things. But you know what? Deep down in my heart, I know that I'm living like a babe in Christ. I'm drinking, but I'm not eating. If we want to live the life that God has for us, we need to be a part of the Father's will. Just like Jesus, when he was that young boy in the temple, and Mary and Joseph were looking for him, and they came to him. Hey, I must be about my Father's business. We all have a Father. If you're saved today, your Father is in heaven, and we need to be about the Father's business. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for preserving and inspiring your word. And I thank you, Father, how your word does change lives. I'm grateful for the privilege that we have to sit under it and to read from it. And Father, to allow it to penetrate our hearts and to allow it to draw us closer to you. And Father, I don't know every heart here this morning, but you do. And so, Father, if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, if there's one here that knows that they need to get right with you because there's unconfessed sin in their life, and Father, they're not truly living for you. They're putting themselves before you, Lord. Each and every one of us has a level of self-centeredness, selfishness. Father, we all deal with pride in our life. Father, I try to keep that confessed before you. But Father, there might be one here that truly just needs to rededicate their life to serving you and putting you first. So Father, whatever the case might be, I pray that your perfect will would be accomplished during this invitation time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Wetzel.
You all right? We're going to sing number 404.
May the words of that wonderful hymn ring in our hearts all afternoon. I surrender all. That was the song they were singing years ago when I gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happened the next day? I had to do it again. And the next day, I had to do it again. It would be wonderful if it's a once for all thing, but sometimes we have to kind of renew our vows to the Lord, don't we? Anew and afresh, let God's Spirit fall on us. We appreciate that. Good message that you brought for us today. Thank you for coming down. And as we look to the Lord in prayer, remember our service tonight. Come out and be with us. Brother David, will you lead us in our benediction, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for what we've heard this morning, Lord. We heard the truth, Lord, that we should be seeking to do your will, Lord, not ours.
not the things that make us happy, Lord, but the things that make you happy, Lord. But you said that you would supply all our need, Lord, not all our wants, but our needs, Lord, and we can just count on you for that. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, that if we do your will, Lord, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to surrender all. Lord, surrender our lives. Do your will, Lord. Help us to be your servants, Lord, for if we do that, Lord, we will be happy in you, dear Heavenly Father. And we just pray that you would watch over us, Lord, as we leave this place, the remainder of the day, Lord, be with us. Help us to witness to others, Lord, if we have an opportunity. Lord, help us to just praise you. And Lord, we ask you to bring us back here tonight again, Lord, to hear your word preached, Lord, so that we can get a little bit more of that meat, Lord, that we need. But we just thank you for this time and this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.